thank me at the start, not at the end. Does anyone else have a testimony they want to share that you're feeling like you want to share something? You don't have to, but I just wanted to open the floor if anyone felt like, yes, Kate, here, I'll come to you if you want.
Thank you.
I'm not sure if it's a testimony, it's a word. The sort of things that Jen and Kevin were talking about don't happen in a vacuum. They happen as a result of God's word. And when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit told John, no, the Father said to John, this is my beloved Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. And that applies to all of us, that we need to listen to what Jesus says about, our past, what he's done with our sin. Listen to him, what he says about our future. It's filled with hope. It's filled with his favour available. What he says about the faith he has given us to live by. The favour. I said that. Maybe I'm finished. Okay. Yeah, but to listen to him.
Yeah, that's good. Yep. Good. I just want to... It's funny how there is so much intercession that's going on even behind all our housing projects, and you don't see that stuff, the unseen stuff, people listening to Holy Spirit, praying to the Lord, petitioning him, and God providing a way forward, and it all starts by listening to him, which is great. Yes, Anthony.
We, a member of our broader family, let's just say broader family, had a little bub born the other day, and things were, let's just say, extremely dire. And broadcasts went out to the family to pray, and we did. It was a little bit raw because one of our grandkids had a pretty terribly shaky start to life, but the Lord was wonderful to him. Anyway, we prayed and I sent out messages for people to pray, and it's funny, isn't it? It just seems so crazily dire, and yet the Lord looked after him, and he's feeding well, and they've taken all the machines off, and what a great testimony. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, that's good. It's good. Righto, I'm going to share today, we're continuing our series on when God steps in, the weak become strong. When God steps in, the weak become strong. I want to talk about that today. I've been thinking about this week, and it's funny because when I see God most at work, it's often when I hear testimonies of people firstly starting at a place of weakness and then me watching the journey of them becoming strong, and then I see God has done his thing. Not when everyone walks around saying, I'm strong, everything's okay, all it's good, because I don't get to visualize, I don't get to see what God has done. It's almost like that position, and I think as I've thought about this, it's talking about weakness as a strength rather than as a problem or as a weakness. So if you put up the first slide, I want to start here. That God is not actually asking us to be strong. He's asking you to give him a stage to display his glory. We went out the other night. We went to this event, and it was all these entrepreneurs talking. And Temmie came home and she said, oh, what was the highlight for your night? And I said, oh, just having a conversation with the person next to me about some things they were going through and some wrestles that they were wrestling with. Because it's like, for me, it was an invitation for God's glory. N.T. Wright said, the glory of God is the beauty of God revealed in the world. It's God's character going public. We want to see his glory on the earth. And I would argue that God's glory is most manifest in a tangible way in our weakness. think about that. Where do you see God at work the most? When are you most aware that he's at work? It's when you're weak. It's when you come to the end of your rope and you come to the start of God. You come to the end of yourself and you come to the start of him. I want to talk about glory. You go to the next slide. The Hebrew word literally means weight or heaviness or worth or substance. It points to the weightiness of God's presence and majesty. It's the Old Testament. The New Testament talks about honor and splendor and radiance and greatness, and it refers to the revelation of God's character. It's his beauty made visible. So God's glory is the manifestation of his presence and power and worth in such a way that it becomes tangible and undeniable. And this is the platform that God uses to show his glory is our weakness. So let's read from Corinthians 3, and you'll pick this up in the way that Paul communicates. He says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows. I just read the same thing twice. No, I didn't. It says it twice. I just realized that. Anyway, was caught up in paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Even if I choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain so no one will think more of me that is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassing great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn of the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My power is made perfect in weakness. That is just such a confronting scripture. Therefore, I boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weaknesses. That's strong. In insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. No one is exempt from weakness. Everyone in this room knows what it feels to be either physically sick, exhausted, emotionally sick with anxiety or discouragement, or maybe even spiritually sick with temptation that's overcome them, or doubt or unbelief or whatever there is. And the world tells us to hide our weakness but to project our strengths. But the Bible turns that upside down. And people don't often talk about their weaknesses. Even the Apostle Paul, who had extraordinary spiritual experiences, was not exempt from weaknesses. And in this scripture, he talks about a man who was caught up in the third heaven, a vision so glorious that he heard words too wonderful, it says, to express. He says, I know a man. You know, Paul's describing himself. He's talking in the third person. And it's a humble way for him to speak about himself. The point is clear. Even someone who has even seen or experienced the throne of God, even someone who's caught up in paradise, still faces weaknesses, trials and struggles. And that's the good news, isn't it? And obviously, you know, that was the gift of even Kevin's testimony this morning. If someone as spiritually privileged as Paul, still needing, sustaining God's grace, then no one's exempt from weakness. And no one is beyond God's power to display his strength through our frailty. And Paul's response, he embraced his weaknesses, not hiding it, but allowing God's grace to shine through it. And that is the message we want to hear today. If you go to the next slide, it is this. God is looking for a stage to display his glory, and our weakness is the platform. So the first thing is this. I need to acknowledge, if you go to the next slide, I need to acknowledge my weaknesses. Paul admits, I have a thorn in the flesh, I personally struggle. And he prayed for it to remove, but God's answer was, my grace is sufficient. He acknowledged that weakness is not defeat, it's actually honesty. And David wrote in Psalm 73, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So he talks about weakness as a stage. I am weak. But God's power is my performance. God's power is at work. And I boast in my weaknesses. Paul doesn't just admit weaknesses, he boasts about it. This is a bizarre thing for me. I don't going around telling everyone how weak you are. Because I think weakness shifts the spotlight. If I boast in strength, people see me. But if I boast in my weakness, people see Christ's power at work in me. This is the thing. If you go around thinking, I am weak, but he is strong, then people always see God stepping in, doing things that you wouldn't be able to do yourself. And he gets the glory. He says in 2 Corinthians that I'll boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. And the word power is God's might or ability. His, the idea is like dunamis power. We've heard this before, like the same word that we get the word dynamite. It's like the power of God comes in and is at work. And why do we boast? Not because we want to talk about our problems all the time, but we boast because we want to shift the spotlight onto Christ. And we want to say, I am weak, but he is strong. I have my frailties. I'm not perfect. You know, Kevin's testimony again this morning kind of affirms some of this stuff. He gets up here and goes, he's aware that he has his frailties, but he's also aware now that God can work through him. None of that was planned, by the way. But it's beautiful, isn't it? That none of us are disqualified because of my weakness. I'm just aware because I want to shift the spotlight and I want to know that I am weak. Yes, I am weak. I'm not perfect. By the way, no one likes a perfect person. No one likes a perfect church. You know, what do they say? A perfect church, and you walk in the door and it becomes all perfect all of a sudden. It's like, you know, everything's sharp and I don't know, there's something about that. And I don't want to be critical, but there's something about recognizing that we have work to do and that gap that we see is that Christ is filling that gap and the spotlight's not on how good I am and how good we are. It's on how good he is and how we give him the glory for everything he's doing. There's a level of, if you go next slide, I think the word is vulnerability. See, boasting about your weakness does lead to a sense of vulnerability, that showing others where I struggle so Christ's power can be revealed. We look at Gideon in Judges 6, and he says, you know, he's not hiding in fear. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Gideon answered, but Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakness, and I'm the least in my family. And the Lord said to him, go, he says this, go in the strength you have, and I'll be with you. We talk about Moses in Exodus 4. He talks about, you know, I'm slow in speech. I can't talk properly. And Moses said to the Lord, he says, O Lord, I have never been eloquent. I am slow in speech and tongue. The Lord said, who gave human beings their mouths? God said to him. It's like this is a perfect scenario of saying, I am weak. And the Lord's, this is where God steps in and he goes, yeah, I know you're weak and you can't speak properly, but who gives people their mouths, Moses? It's like, oh, that's right. That's right, you. He says, no, now go and I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. We know David, you know, he's the smallest in his family and he's the one who steps up. Why? Because it's the platform that God wants to use to display his glory. You know, God's not looking for a hero in you. He already has a hero in Christ. You don't have to be a hero in your own story. He is the hero in our story. And we recognize that. Even Jesus, in Luke 22, you know, fully God, fully human, experienced anguish. And he says, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done." And an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, it said. So we boast about him. N.T. Wright said this, "Strength in weakness is not resignation, but a triumph of God's power in the midst of our limitations." I love that. So we need to say and confess on one hand, but we also need to confess, if you go to the next slide, that I am strong because of him. I love what Paul writes in Philippians 4, and this is kind of, in my way, this is his pathway, or this is his instruction about how you confess you are strong in the midst of your weakness. This is what we need to do. He says in Philippians 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And I say it again. "Rejoice in the Lord always." And I say it again. "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." It's funny, we know this scripture. For some of us who have been in faith for a while, we know this scripture off by heart. Sometimes Philippians 4, 6, "Do not be anxious." Sometimes we forget Philippians 4, 4. That's the posture before you pray. And then in verse 8, he says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, is right, whatever is pure, what's lovely, what's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And whatever you learned and received and heard from me or seen, you may put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." So he starts by saying, rejoice. The anchor is our joy in God. Our joy, the joy of our salvation is our strength, yeah? So what's the joy is in the fact that Christ died for me, and I'm stoked about it. You know, that's my first point. That's why I wake up every morning. I'm happy because he chose me and died for me, and I'm excited about that truth. That's the thing that gives me joy. Not life doesn't give me joy. He gives me joy because he chose me and died for me and gave me this resurrection life that I now get to enjoy. And then he says, pray. Turn your anxiety into a conversation with him. So rejoice. Be happy about your save, that you're not alone. The Lord is near. That's what he's saying. You're not alone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious, but pray and petition. You know, you can pray, but don't always be, when you pray, don't always be focusing on what you don't have. Start to focus on what you do have. That's the thanksgiving piece. Oh yeah, Lord, thank you. You know, jump into prayer, just telling him your problems rather than actually going in going, oh, let me just stop for a minute and think about all the things I do have rather than all the things I don't have. And that's what he says, with thanksgiving, present your, and peace will come, which transcends your understanding. Peace beyond your ability to understand. I love what Bill Johnson talks about on this passage. He talks about, you know, sometimes God will give you peace in spite of your understanding. I would prefer that. Sometimes if you know, I need to understand. It's like it doesn't matter how much information you get, you probably still won't have peace. You know what I mean? It's like, give me all the information. And then it's like, I've got all the information and I still feel anxious. And he says, no, how about I give you peace rather than understanding? And I go, oh, let's do that. Because there are some things we just won't understand. We don't have the capacity to understand. And then he says, think about, this is just gold. He just thinks about, finally, brothers, whatever's true, actually get your mind focusing on what is right, what is good. Just get your focus on the right things. And then I love, he says, practice, live out what you've learned. This is the strength. Anchor it in joy. Turn your anxiety into conversation. Cultivate gratitude. dwell on what's good, and live out what you've learned. He's saying, I know you're struggling right now, and I know you're weak, and I know things are hard, but you've been in this for a while. Draw from what you know. Draw from the truths that you know. Draw from the things that you've learned. This is not your first rodeo. Like, you have something there. You have like a storehouse of truth and experience, a storehouse of knowledge around God's faithfulness and what he's done for you. Draw on those things in this moment. And then he says in 2 Corinthians, I love this, go to the next slide, because we can be blind like the unbelievers. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that you cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we have preached is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Christ's sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory. There it is again, displayed in the face of Christ. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that his all-surpassing power, his dunamis power, is not from God, is from God and not from us. Focus is on him. We are hard-pressed on every side but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed, because we always carry around in our body the death of Christ so that the life of Christ may be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death. We're always sensing our weakness, being aware of our weakness. We're vulnerable for Christ's sake, so that the life, once again, he gets the platform, may be also revealed in our mortal bodies. So then death is at work in me, but life, being the resurrected life of Christ, is being at work in you. Isn't that good news? You know, we start singing that song, you know the song, which I've shared before. I get knocked down and I get up again. You ain't never going to keep me down. I love the story of Desmond Doss in Hacksaw Ridge. Anyone knows this story? Seen the movie? I don't encourage you to see the movie, it's horrible. It's a war movie. He's a US Army medic, a devout Seventh-day Adventist, enlisted to serve, but refused to carry a weapon because of his faith. And he knew he was physically and emotionally ordinary. In an army of soldiers' strength that was usually measured by courage in combat and skills to carry your weapons, yet in the battle, he performed acts of extraordinary courage. Under intense enemy fire, he repeatedly risked his life to rescue wounded soldiers, lowering them safely from the battlefield. And during these moments, he prayed out loud, Lord, help me get one more. Doss did not rely on his own strength. He learned entirely on God. Over the course of the battle, he saved 75 men. And while unarmed, he became the first conscientious objector to receive a Medal of Honor. It's crazy. And his faith, if you watch the movie, which, you know, it's just a beautiful picture of his faith. Lord, one more, just one more. And he would go in the midst and he would carry these soldiers out in the midst of battle. And he echoed the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So even in our extreme weakness, in our fear, in our vulnerability, God's power can shine through ordinary people who fully depend on him. That's when he steps in. That's when he gets the glory. So I acknowledge that I'm weak. In fact, I boast that I'm weak. I'm aware of my vulnerabilities, but I can testify that he is strong. Because I want the focus and the spotlight to be on him rather than on me. He says, I am weak, then I am strong. So if finish with this closing thought. Weakness is not a liability in the kingdom of God. It is the platform of which God displays his glory. Our insufficiency highlights his sufficiency. Our fragility magnifies his strength. And our brokenness becomes a canvas on which the weightiness of his presence is painted for the world to see. Jesus, we are more than aware that we are weak at times. We are more than aware that we have vulnerabilities, that we're not perfect. And even today, maybe there are things in our life where we have been feeling like we don't have what it takes. Maybe we're feeling a sense of hopelessness and struggle in the midst of our weakness. So we invite you into those spaces so that you get the glory, so that you do a work that only you can do. We confess today that we need you, Jesus. We need you today. We need you every day. So Jesus, come and make yourself known through our brokenness, through our weaknesses, through our pain. Let the world know how amazing you are, that you can take the broken things, the weak things, the despised things. While it's foolishness to the world, it's the power of God at work in our lives. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Did anyone want to make any further comments? Add anything that I've said? Subtract anything that I've said? Good. Yeah. It's the story of restoration, isn't it? It's such a beautiful thing when you take something that's broken and you see it restored. It's an amazing picture. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, when they crossed over into the promised land through the sea, he said, put some stones down here. Because why? I don't want you to forget this moment. Because you will. Because you have spiritual Alzheimer's. And you're going to forget this amazing story. And it's human nature, right? And he says, put some stones down, take a moment to reflect, and I want you to remember what I've done. Not what you've done, what I've done. Yeah. It's good. Yes. Good. Psalm 23, isn't it? It's good. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. It's like, yeah. So if you lack nothing, it means you have everything. Yes. presence, right? His promise is, I'll be with you. That's it. I'm going. Yep. Yep. Yeah, he's not I was sharing a few weeks ago. He's not a travel agent, he's a travel guide. Your travel agent will send you on your way and go, have an amazing time. The travel guide will go, I will come with you and show you. I'll show you all the great things. I'll show you how to navigate the best places and get through the obstacles and all this kind of stuff. Not that I've ever had a travel guide in my life. This is my assumption. Yes. Awesome. God bless you. If you want some prayer, you want to chat about something, make yourself come and chat to us or chat to someone here. We're going to have some morning tea, hang out a bit. Come next week. Bring your family. It's going to be a great time. This is an opportunity for us to do mission. We'll have someone share a testimony, but we'll be sitting around tables, so it'll be more relational and more connected. If you can cook up a storm,